The pride, passion, and pageantry of college football lives here. This is the Paul Feinbaum Show, Hour 2 Podcast.
We are done. Well, no, we're back. I meant to say some other teams are done. We are here. And it's great to have all of you with us on a Tuesday afternoon. Stick around for the next couple of hours because we have a lot in store. Yesterday, we started our program with Jimbo Fisher. Some still talking about the Alabama upset. We will start looking ahead today because it's Tuesday and we can't look back forever. Let's talk about what's in the news. A&M still in the news, and it may be in the news for a long, long time. The upset, sending everything into a full tilt. The man who wrote that story is Ralph Russo, and he'll join us in just a couple of minutes. This is the AP poll, in case you were wondering. And no, you didn't just get off a spaceship and see Georgia, Iowa, Cincinnati. That is real. That is real time here as we head into week 7 of the season. Alabama at 5. Ohio State, we're all the usual suspects. What's Kentucky doing there at 11? What's Coastal Carolina doing there? What about Wake Forest?
Yes.
Arizona State, I thought they were about to fire. No, I guess they're not going to fire him yet. He's winning. NC State, SMU, Pony Express about to be, San Diego State. What's happened to college football? We will talk about that issue or that question, I guess I should say, with Ralph coming up here in just a few minutes. Back to T-Town. Will Anderson. He is trying to say that the team didn't heed his warning. Well, Will, why didn't you speak louder? What about it?
I don't think it was taken seriously. I mean, as you can see, after the Florida, which was a close game, we end up losing this game. So, I mean, I think together as a team, we really just have to focus. I think that's the biggest thing. I just feel like as if there's really nothing other teams are doing. I just think it's just us. We're in our own way right now.
It's always about Alabama. It's not about the other team, is it? Georgia trying to get JT Daniels back. Remember when he was a Heisman favorite? Not right now. But they are still counting on him for the stretch run, which begins Saturday when Kentucky comes to town. Auburn. Hello, Auburn. Auburn looks to reestablish downhill identity. They will need it in its next three games. Arkansas, they're not the favorite there. They are the favorite at home against Ole Miss right now, and they go to A&M on November 6th. They are considerably an underdog. So Auburn has two losses, cannot afford any more. We're at the midpoint of the season, and it has been a season of great storylines like Will Levis, Williams, the season of great storylines. And we asked a question earlier, what do you think the biggest storyline is? A lot of people are saying Kentucky. And today we will talk to a number of guests, including the aforementioned Ralph Russo. He is the college football editor of the Associated Press. The Backstreet Boys are back. Remember a couple of years ago, we were up in Kentucky and we talked to Kevin Richardson on set. I think that was 2 years ago. Another one of his brethren, Brian Luttrell. You know what's interesting? They're both from Lexington, Kentucky. One is naturally a Kentucky fan. I don't know how the other one became a Georgia fan, and we will talk to him about that today. We have Stinch, who something tells me is not a Backstreet Boys fan.
No.
John Adams?
Probably not either.
John Adams may be more of like a Tommy Dorsey fan.
Yes.
And your phone calls at 855. I went 40s on you there in case you were wondering about Dorsey. 855-242-7285. That is our number. Let's get to the calls. Pat starts it off in Georgia. Hello, Pat.
Hey, Paul. Thanks. Well, it's not the college football playoff poll, but it is the AP poll halfway through the season. And you got Clemson and Texas A&M unranked. Notre Dame's out there somewhere, having lost to Cincinnati. and Alabama and Ohio State on the outside looking in. And as you said, it's Georgia, it's Iowa, Cincinnati, and Oklahoma. Wow. Are you all in on Georgia yet?
Oh, yeah. No, I've been pretty much all in on Georgia from the beginning of the season to make the playoffs. I did not expect their path to be as easy as it has been.
Okay. I don't think JT Daniels is going to play Saturday. I think he's going to rest until the Florida game and be completely healed. At least that's what I'm hearing. And Stetson's going to be just fine, and Kentucky's going to be Kentucky this Saturday, and they are playing in Athens. I think Georgia's going to – oh, and the cocktail party, it is a real neutral field. It's 50-50.
Thank you very much for the call. Appreciate it. Mitch is up next. Hey, Mitch.
Hey, Uncle Paul. How are you?
Mitch, we're doing great. What about you?
Well, I wish I could say I've been worse, but I have been worse. I had COVID. I guess I'm getting over it. Today's the first day in about 10 days I've even felt like getting on the phone. And I don't try to give advice to people, but I have had both sets of vaccination shots. And have you heard of the, I'm sure you have, the monoclonal antibody infusion?
Yes, sure.
I had that.
Did it help?
I think so. I think the only thing that I've really dealt with is fatigue and some nausea sometimes. But other than that, I mean, I am high risk. I'm a diabetic,
sure.
I'm an amputee, and I've been able to stay home. So I haven't been put in hospital, but I don't tell people what to do, but I am saying what has worked for me. I want to stir a little hornet's nest, if you'll let me. You know I'm good at that. Just caller Leo that called a couple times last week. I was able to watch it. I just couldn't call. He wanted to say you were trying to stir up trouble for Ed Orgeron. I got news for him. Ed's doing a good enough job on his own. You ain't got to stir up trouble.
Yeah, you're right. Ed doesn't need my help. So, well, I tell you what, Mitch, I am really glad to hear your voice, and we will be thinking of you, and you have a speedy recovery. Thanks so much. James is up next. Hello, James.
Paul, let me say to Mitch, I am glad that he is getting better. And he is also evidence, along with some others, that so-called vaccine is not bulletproof. I understand there's some problems in Alabama. Have you heard that, Paul?
James, the hard thing right now is to separate fact from fiction, but I pretty much heard everything.
Okay, well, let me share this with you. Did you know Alabama is top five with people on dialysis in this state?
I'm
we also have
that.
The city, Birmingham metro area, with the fifth crappiest air in the country. The last directive on our waterways was not for people to eat 4 ounces a week or 4 ounces a month of the fish in our waterways, but we were directed not to eat the fish at all. Our children are the second fattest,
James,
and our adults are the...
I don't mean to interrupt the long laundry list here, but is there a point to
what
all
I'm
this?
Trying to say is this right here, Paul. We have more problems in the state of Alabama with the second poorest or 49th worst infant mortality rate than Pete Golding as our defensive coordinator over at the University of Alabama. We have bigger issues that we need to address.
Well, James, if I could offer a thought here, you're probably right about that. I mean, according to your script, we shouldn't talk about anything here other than the problems of the world. But we try to take a break from those problems, and that's why we are here every day. So if somebody wants to opine on the defensive coordinator, we encourage that. We encourage positivity. We encourage whatever you would like to say, because by 3 o'clock in the afternoon, I've seen all the bad news. I want to, you know, I can't let my hair down, but you get the idea. We will be right back. Next 4 hours are all yours, and the guests will start piling in here as well.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
Is your schedule too packed to see a doctor about your erectile dysfunction? Well, with Hims, now you can get treated for ED without stepping foot outside your door. They're changing men's healthcare by providing access to affordable sexual health treatments from the comfort of your couch. Hims provides access to doctor-trusted ED treatment options such as chewable hard mints, brand name treatments like Viagra, or generic alternatives for up to 95% cheaper. The process is simple and entirely online. Just answer a series of questions and a medical provider will determine the right treatment option. If prescribed, your medication ships to you free. No insurance needed. So what are you waiting for? Join the hundreds of thousands of trusted Hims subscribers and get treated. Start your free online visit today at hims.com/Paul. That's hims.com/Paul for your personalized ED treatment options. hims.com/Paul. Hard mints are chewable compounded products which are not approved by or verified for safety or effectiveness by the FDA. Prescriptions require an online consultation with a healthcare provider who will determine if appropriate. Restrictions apply. See website for details and important safety information. Subscription required. Price varies on product and subscription plan.
This podcast is proud to be supported by Jet's Pizza, the number one pick in Detroit-style pizza. Why? It's simple. Jet's is better. With the thickest, crispiest, cheesiest Detroit-style pizza in the country, there's no competition. Right now, get $5 off any 8-corner pizza with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Go to jetspizza.com to learn more and find a location near you. Again, try Jet's signature 8-corner pizza and get $5 off with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Jet's Pizza. Better because it has to be.
And we are back. Taking your phone calls before Ralph Russo gets on the phone. And let's get to some more phone calls here. And David is up next. Hello, David. Go right ahead.
Hi, Paul. What's going on?
Hey there.
I didn't get a chance to listen yesterday or tune in, but I just wanted to congratulate Matt, my buddy,
yeah,
from Texas A&M. Hey, he predicted it. He said it was going to happen, and it happened. But I want to remind him, how does it feel to beat Alabama and still know you're not going to the college football playoff? Roll Tide.
Hmm. Yeah, I bet it really doesn't matter. But is Alabama going to the college football playoff? Did I miss something? Are they automatically in?
No.
Maybe they are. How about Will in North Carolina? Hello, Will.
Hey, Paul. Good afternoon.
Hey there.
James Trice again. Just want to make this clear to James. This is the Paul Feinbaum Show. It's not the EPA hotline. And
yeah, and by the way, if James doesn't like the vaccine, good. Doesn't really concern me or you, does it?
No, he's been knocking on that for 2 years. It's getting old. So, I mean, just it's always something irrelevant. But anyway,
I didn't really like the vaccine either, but I took it.
Shut up and
my
take
arm
it.
Still hurts.
right. My question is kind of pertaining to know-it-all James. I mean, I called you last December trying to track Henry Toa Toa, and finally he's arrived at his destination. And while I was on hold waiting for you, I've looked at his stats, and I mean, what I'm trying to get to is he's had – I know he's transitioned into a new defense, and it's under your boy Pete Golden, so – but it's been very unimpressive, just 13 solo tackles. If he could have stayed at Tennessee, he would have been a focal point, and he had first-round potential all two or three years he was at Tennessee, and now he's just selection 1A or 1B out of their linebacking core at Alabama. But, I mean,
well,
still
you know,
time
here's
to
the problem,
turn,
Will.
Turn
he made that choice like a lot, like those guys that went to Oklahoma and a lot of other people, thinking the program would be a complete disaster as opposed to really what
yeah.
I think Josh Heupel is selling now, and that's hope. And they're getting, you know, they're doing exactly what you're supposed to do at Tennessee, and that's beat inferior teams badly.
Right, compete, and that's what they've done.
Yeah, they're doing, I mean, exception.
They made
mincemeat out of Missouri and did the same thing to South Carolina, and this is a bellwether game for them against Ole Miss because it's a game that. Yeah, they could win. They're not supposed to, but it would be a game changer if they did.
Right. I like Henry. Don't get me wrong. There's still, like you said about the Heisman race last week. It's just really beginning. We're at the halfway point.
He made a decision like everyone else who bailed
right.
out, and I don't blame them. It looks like a pretty desperate place to be. So hey, thank you for the call. Appreciate it, Kevin. Is in Georgia. Hey, Kevin, good afternoon.
Hey, Paul, good afternoon. I appreciate you taking my call today.
Thank you.
Paul, I'm a Dolphin for life. I remember at the beginning of the season, you and Heather Dinich, they were asking you all who needed to win more, us or Clemson. And you were trying to educate them, Paul, but they, unfortunately, they didn't listen. And all we've heard this year is we don't play anybody. Well, we're not the number one team in the country. We've beaten three ranked teams already. We're going to take care of Kentucky this weekend. In 2 weeks, we're going to take care of another ranked team and them Gators down there. We don't get any kind of respect. Another thing, Paul, just to add on to my point, Paul, we're only getting better as the number one team. Our offense, other than our running backs, are all second-team players, third-string players, and we're still taking care of business. What do you got to say about that?
Well, I hear you, Kevin. It doesn't matter, but that's not really what you asked me. I think people will start to come around on Georgia after the next two games because they'll have to. And if people don't want to give them credit now, fine. That's okay. I don't think Kirby Smart cares one bit. And speaking of Kirby Smart in Athens, we will be there Friday doing this program and look forward to it very, very much. Let's check in with JB in Huntsville. Hey, JB.
Paul, what's up, dude?
Hey there.
So last time I talked to you was about 2 weeks ago, and it has to do with our friend James. And I know you know Blue Oyster Cult is as good as the rest of them, do you not?
I sure do.
Well, Don't Fear the Reaper is what I think of every time James's moron self calls this program. He's just so dumb. He's never had a positive thing to say. And he wants to come on here and just spin his idealism about COVID. This is a sports talk show. James, if you want to call, how about you talk about sports? Please. Well, I thought we were going to never let him on again, but I'm just trying to play golf today, and all I can hear is James in the background being dull and boring. Why is that?
Yeah, I don't know why. I mean, we're now, what is this, October 12th? At this point
right.
in time, I'm not sure what – going off on the vaccine, does that make you feel better?
Because most people
have either made a voluntary choice to get it or have been mandated to take it and have made a voluntary choice not to take it. So
right.
it's no longer really in debate.
I normally also like to talk about golf, and I don't think that I've heard about the Ryder Cup being mentioned, you know, over the last couple of weeks. How great was that for us to finally get that monkey off our back and get the trophy?
Yeah, you're right. It did. It's the best and the worst part of the cup is it's played this time of the year, and there's just not, you know, when you're covering football or
right.
watching it, it's hard to really get a lot of conversation about it. Hey, thank you for the call. Heading to a break, Ralph Russo will join us on the other side of the conversation. He's the head of the AP College Football Division, and he will join us next.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
This podcast is proud to be supported by Jets Pizza, the number one pick in Detroit-style pizza. Why? It's simple. Jets is better.
With the thickest, crispiest, cheesiest Detroit-style pizza in the country, there's no competition. Right now, get $5 off any 8-corner pizza with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Go to JetsPizza.com to learn more and find a location near you. Again, try Jet's signature 8-corner pizza and get $5 off with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Jet's Pizza. Better because it has to be.
We live in the moment, and my moment is not good. That was the artist formerly known as Jerome from Birmingham. Final call of Monday's epic meltdown show. We continue here at the bottom of the hour, and we're joined by Ralph Russo. He covers the entire world of college football for the Associated Press. Ralph, thank you for joining us. You can tell things are not good down south. How are you?
I'm good. Yeah, it's always interesting to see what happens when Alabama loses, because it happens so infrequently, and it's sometimes hard for all of us to process, like, what it means when Alabama loses.
So, what does it mean, Ralph?
You know, listen, Alabama could not lose again this season. They are good enough to simply rattle off, however many wins you need to get to the national championship game and win the national championship game. The path to all the things that Alabama fans are used to and dream about is still laid right out in front of us. And, you know, Nick Saban mentioned that on Saturday night. But I think it does show that it sounds obvious, right? Replacing the major components from one of the great teams we've seen in college football history is not easy, right? Like, that seems really obvious, but, like, having lost maybe one of the greatest offenses we've ever seen in college football history last year, yeah, there might be some things that are tough to replace from that. And you know, playing a lot of young guys and you know, having some issues on your defense, like, it happens. As great as Alabama is, they have small issues that made them a little vulnerable to a bad night in Texas A&M. And I think, like you probably watched that game like I did and thought in the second half, Alabama's going to win this game. And it just so turns out that they made a couple of mistakes and didn't. But, like, you know, I don't think it's any reason to panic, but it happens so infrequently that it is startling.
We're talking to Ralph Russo. Ralph, I know you've written recently about where the college football playoff goes. And, of course, this year we know where it is. But what have you learned, and what do you think is on the horizon?
So as much as things have stalled and we've had a bit of a detour here, I think ultimately when the thing was announced in June, the plan was unveiled, let's say, in June, I think that there was a lot of hope that we would have crossed a finish line of some sort in late September. Not that it would have been all done, but there would have been something of a proclamation of, like, yes, we have agreed upon a 12-team system, and now we're going to work to put that in place as soon as 2024. And again, there's been a bit of a detour along the way there that started with, or well, maybe didn't start with, but certainly was amplified by the move of Oklahoma and Texas to the SEC. I still think ultimately, while there is some resistance to 12 teams and resistance to type the ways you get to 12 teams, especially among some of the newer commissioners, I still think we are going to get to 12 teams. I think the impediments to putting together an 8-team playoff, where how you put it together, if there are automatic bids, the SEC is not going to love it, and maybe neither will Notre Dame. And if there are no automatic bids and it's just the 8 best teams, I don't think anybody else will love that, especially the Group of Five. But I also think some of the other Power Five conferences would not be down for that. And the solution to all those things is going to 12. There's also some issues about what kind of money you'd be able to get from ESPN. If you only go to 8 within the terms of the contract, you're not creating any new inventory with 8. I think people look at the playoff and think of it as a 3-game system, 2 semifinals and a championship, and that's true. But for the television contract, it's a 7-game package that includes those New Year's 6 games. So if you simply create an 8-game playoff that fits into the current 7 games, ESPN doesn't have to pay any more money for that, at least within the framework of the contract that goes until 2025. So there's a whole bunch of reasons why 8 doesn't work, which essentially leads me to believe that there might be some protestation to 8 or to 12, but eventually they will get to 12.
Talking to Ralph Russo, Ralph, the alliance was announced, I don't know, 6-7 weeks ago, and it was a bizarre introduction. You're connected to all these commissioners and ADs around the country. Is there anything new on that, or was that just trying to rally around the flag?
There was a little bit of that, and I think mostly it was that. I do think there will be some substance that comes out of it. My sense of that has been heavily driven by the Pac-12 as far as the scheduling components. And I think there might be some meat on that bone sooner rather than later as far as announcing some things that will be more tangible as far as scheduling agreements, where there might be some games played, especially on the basketball side, maybe more so than the football side. But again, like when it's explained to me, it gets a little dull, but I can understand why it makes sense as far as like where we're going in the grand scheme of college sports, governance and NCAA issues, and how these conferences being quote-unquote aligned helps them all. But I think in the shorter term, you know, again, there wasn't a ton of there. And I think it's hard for, you know, sort of the average fan to sort of understand, like, what is the big deal of this? And the question is, it might not be a big deal right now. But I think structurally, the biggest thing that came out of it, I think, is sort of this agreement between these three new commissioners that they want to take another look at the playoff. I think that was really the biggest thing they accomplished, was slowing down the playoff expansion, which I still think ultimately will get to where the folks thought it would get to in June when they announced the 12-team plan.
Ralph, one or two more questions I want to ask you. And yesterday on this program, in addition to Alabama, there were a lot of almost given up feelings of expression from LSU fans. I know you were there covering Ed Orgeron less than 2 years ago in New Orleans, winning the national championship. I know we've seen this before, not all that long ago, but it still seems just bewildering to watch it unravel. What about you?
Yeah, it does. And I think the Gene Chizik comparisons are easy to make. I don't know if they're entirely fair. I mean, if you dig into Coach O's record, it's a lot better than Chizik's was. You know, Gene Chizik is a fine man and a pretty good coach, but he didn't have the resume before the national championship that Coach O did. I mean, Coach O had a couple of very nice seasons building that program to the crescendo of that amazing season in 2019. And you're right, to see it unravel so fast is stark, but I think everybody after 2019, myself included, wrote some version of this story. We are going to find out very quickly who is most responsible for this amazing season. Was it the assistant coaches, two coordinators who came and went, not just Joe Brady on the offensive side, but also Dave Aranda on the defensive side, which has turned out to be a very tough guy to replace? He went to Baylor to become a head coach. The lightning bolt that was Joe Burrow, who they, you know, there's no way they knew he was going to be as sensational, plus all the other great players. So I think there was always a sense of, you know, we have to give Coach O credit for assembling this great team and making some amazing decisions, but how much of this is sustainable, or was just lightning in a bottle? And more and more, it's very quickly we found out that it seems like it was more of lightning in a bottle.
And it's college football in the year 2021, where you're stuck, and you see this all the time, Ralph. Do we give it another year and fall farther behind, or we just pay the buyout out now? And yeah, I'll never understand why these buyouts are put into place, especially for guys like Coach O, who you and I both know would have never left LSU. Where would he go and be as accepted and fit in? But do you have any idea why these ADs go for this every time?
So I think it's partially feeling that they have been leveraged. I always, Paul, get the sense that it's a little bit of keeping up with the Joneses, quite frankly. I really do. I almost feel like not just the contracts in general have this feeling of, well, of course, we'll pay our guy $7 to $8 million and we'll guarantee how much of it, you know, $5 to $7 million, because we're a big time program here. And that's what big time programs do. We plant our flag in our coach and we do it by throwing all this money at him. And if we pay him like a great coach, by God, he will be a great coach. And you end up getting in these situations where you are now because, and essentially, you end up having to find boosters who will pay out that buyout. So it doesn't. It's a broken system to a certain degree that leads us to these buyouts where all of a sudden, again, the coaches seem to have all the leverage, and maybe it has to do with the agent being better at negotiating than an AD who's not necessarily – that's not necessarily his forte. But I also think a lot of it is a little bit of sort of like puffing out your chest by showing how much you can pay your coach.
Always a great conversation with Ralph Russo of the AP. Ralph, you be well. Take care of yourself. See you soon.
Thank you, Paul.
You got it. Excellent stuff there on so many different fronts. We will take a break. The Backstreet Boys. Yes, you heard me correctly. They're also college football fans. One's a Kentucky fan, one's a Georgia fan, and they will be with us shortly.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
Hi, it's Mike Greenberg letting you know ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sportsbook of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me, plus many more. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today. New users get a bet reset up to $1,000 in bonus bets if your first bet doesn't win. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
Brought to you by Dr. Pepper. And it's all about that man right there, Zach Calzada. Look at him. What a comeback. He looked so much better against Alabama. I mean, he did not look like the same quarterback. By the way, give his offensive line some credit. They played lights out in favor of him. So I want to go back to Saturday night. I know we try to move ahead, but we're going to play dueling broadcasters. We spent a lot of time in the last couple of weeks talking about the voices of the SEC. First, we're going to have the A&M call, and then the second one is going to be Eli Gold of Alabama. See if you can tell the difference.
Aggies 38, Crimson Tide 38, 2 seconds left, 28-yard attempt by Seth Small. It is up, and the Fight Texas Aggies take down the top-ranked Tide, 41-38. Number one goes down, and the celebration is on in Kyle Field.
What happens? $250,000 because everybody who does not have a seat and those who did have now flooded the field.
In case you were wondering, the second broadcast was the Alabama play-by-play announcer Eli Gold. That is as stark a difference at the end of a game of two brilliant broadcasters, one describing what happened. one deciding, you know what? What time does the plane leave? I'm out of this place. Let's get back to the calls at 855-242-72. Eli figured it's not going in the it's not going on the Hall of Fame tape, so why bother wasting breath about this game? Let's go. Let's continue with David, who is up next. Hello, David.
Good afternoon, Paul. Good evening.
Hey, how are you?
I'm great. Thank you. I appreciate you taking my call. Just a couple of things. First one, I am a dinosaur. And so you'll get this because I haven't met you personally, but I was introduced to you via my father when I was a boy. He used to get the Pensacola News Journal and or Mobile Press Register. Not exactly sure which one or both, whichever, but he always would read the articles to me and talk about you, and because to him it was Bear Bryant and Paul Feinbaum, and that was the football. Of course, he liked professional football, but he had a lot of respect for you, and he appreciated what you wrote in the papers back then, the truth. You spoke the truth. You do that now, and I appreciate everything you do for SEC college football. And just wanted to tell you that. And then I wanted to tell you that I think part of Alabama's problems is due to the revolving door of coordinators that we've had. So many come and go. Although, what other coach could have done what Saban has done, on the other hand? But still, I think it's caught up with him.
Yeah, David, first of all, thank you very much for passing that story along about your dad. And you are correct. When you lose coordinators as often as Saban has, it affects the continuity, and I think you can see that. It's a price of success, as you well know.
Absolutely. But you know, Paul, before Saturday, I wasn't happy with our defense, but I was not happy about the offense. I mean, to me, there's too many wasted – this air assault, there's too many wasted plays, too many wasted downs. And that's what I have seen before Saturday. And then Saturday, obviously, it took place. And, you know, you got Brian Robinson back there, one of the hardest running backs that we've seen and in college football. And every time our line was getting beat and Young was getting sacked, if he'd handed the ball off, A&M had so many people on the line. Well, if he probably would have had to break a tackle, and which he does. And if he did, he's good for 15 yards, 8, 15, maybe even a touchdown.
Think you're right, especially that series, I think, when they were on the 3-yard line. Thanks so much for the call. Appreciate it. Jim is up next. Hey, Jim.
Hey, Paul. You came up as a topic subject on one of the Oregon boards that I belong to on Friday, I think. And they took exception with you calling the Pac-12 yesterday's trash. So me being a caller for a decade at this point now, had to kind of set them straight on a few things. And they didn't really like too much of what I had to say. You know, they went into the name calling. They went into the SEC bias. They went into the whole Feinbaum Alabama stuff and so on and so on, and they're pretty much dumb as boards out there. And I try to explain to them that most of the grandmas down here in the South know more about college football than half them combined. So I invited them to the show. I said that Paul will give you a platform. He will give you all the time that you want to make your case that the Pac-12 is not trash. You know who I pull for, Paul. I pull for Oregon and only Oregon.
Yeah,
I could care less.
What I said was, it was on SportsCenter the day after Oregon lost. I said, with that loss, I said, you might as well just dump the Pac-12 into the Pacific like yesterday's trash. I was just kidding around. I mean, your friends on those Oregon boards take things pretty literally, don't they? Maybe it's the cannabis. I don't know what it is out there.
Well, you know, for me, Paul, trust me, I'm an outcast as an Oregon fan. But, you know, I mean, how many Oregon fans you've seen show up at SEC days years in a row wearing all Oregon, getting on
well,
to
that's true, but,
Radio
but remind your Oregon friends that we probably had Mario Cristobal on this show as often as some of the SEC head coaches. We're heading to a break. The Backstreet Boys are next.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.